I take my text from the 38th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. My life has been cut short as when a weaver cuts cloth from a loom. Suddenly, my life was over. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Marilyn, dear family, and friends of Jerry Remmel, and dear faithful, on behalf of the priests who got to know and I think took very good care of Jerry over this last time of his illness, and on behalf of the faithful here at St. Hugh, his church family, I wish to express to you all our very sincere sympathy and the promise of our prayers. I was wondering the other day what Jerry was short for, because in the formal liturgy of the church, especially in the old Latin way, the saint's name that's given at baptism is used. So I was thinking it could be either Jerome, which would not be a good fit for Jerry, because Jerome, while a great saint, was irascible. And then there was St. Gerard. And he was a loving saint. He's the mother's saint, the saint of many, many miracles. Then there was St. Gerald, who's an Irish and a Frenchman. And the French St. Gerald, he was a layman who lived a long life. He lived as a monk, but he hid it from people. Or the other possibility was none of the above. So as we say, well, Jerry would have to be the first Saint Jerry. Well, in the new way, in the modern way, they do that pretty much for everybody, I think. That is to say, the funeral ceremony is also a canonization. Everybody gets to go straight to heaven anymore, and you don't have to pass through purgatory, and of course, there is no mention of hell. If you followed any of the beautiful ancient Requiem Mass, which takes us right back the catacombs in the church's early centuries, you will have seen, especially in the very moving Dies Irae that's sung just before the gospel, you will have seen plenty of references to these doctrines. We believe in purgatory and that it is a consoling truth based in sacred scripture as well as the ancient tradition of the church. Purgatory is a place of purification. Purgatory is providing the possibility of our still helping out after death. After all, how do you express your love for someone if not by doing for that person? And sometime after death is probably one of the steps of the grieving process. It occurs to you, well, he's gone. I can't do for him anymore, nor he for me, but the doctrine of the mystical body of Christ, whereby we are all of us united in our holy baptism in Jesus Christ, and that death does not cut that short, that doctrine assures us, oh no, after death, you can still, and you should, you must do for him, not only by remembering him, but specifically by your prayers, the power of a rosary, by having masses offered. But most of all, we believe when it comes to this topic that, well, it's not for us to judge. That's God's job. Our job is to prepare to be judged one day at the moment of our death, and then, of course, that second time when Christ comes in glory to judge the living and the dead at the end of the world. But still, this is why we're here, isn't it? I mean, to become saints. A saint is not an extraordinarily pious person or a miracle worker, necessarily. A saint is simply someone who got to heaven. There are only saints in heaven, the French philosopher and Catholic writer Léon Blois said famously, The only real sadness, the only real failure, the one great tragedy in life is not to become a saint, which means it is to lose your immortal soul. This is the centennial year of the Fatima apparitions in Portugal. And Our Lady said, if people only realized what eternity is, they would live differently. Well, I still hadn't settled on the name, and so I asked Father McGuire if he'd please find out from the family about Jerry's formal name. And so Father texted Sarah. They text now, you know. It's always a bit of a shock to me. Oh, he texted her. But I shouldn't complain too loudly about it, because that text provided me with my text. So he texts, we were wondering, it's a kind of a curious text that Father McGuire came up with. He said, he phrased it thus, we were wondering if Jerry is short for anything in your dad's case. And Sarah's response, my father is not short, he's 6'2". Well, you know, it is an excellent thing to be able to keep one's sense of humor, even at the time of death and on the day of a funeral. It rather balances things out, I think. It helps us. Humor is connected with humility. It helps us to keep things in proportion. Well, as it turns out, I am told, finally, that there was another text, of course. But finally we got it straight that his name simply was Jerry. But Sarah's text got me thinking. There's nothing short about Jerry. And then this text came to my mind, as things will. It's part of our prayers, and you know that we, as again going back to the centuries and the centuries, we say our prayers in the Latin. And there's, it's called the Canticle from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. And during Lent and at funerals, we say it as part of the divine office for lauds. And in the Latin it is, Precisa est veluta texente vita mea, which is roughly, my life has been cut short. And that text kept on coming to me all Thursday afternoon, after we settled the matter about his name, Jerry's name. These words are from a prayer that a king, Ezekiah, once made in the Old Testament. It's the epistle for this coming Thursday, the day after Ash Wednesday. The story is that Ezekiah the king grows sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, he sends him a message and he says, take order with thy house, for thou shalt die and not live. And the king, he's in bed, and he starts to pray very sincerely. And he prays so sincerely that he starts to weep. There's nothing wrong with weeping. People feel a little discomforted by that today, because I think in the modern way, again, everything is supposed to be fairly cheery and happy. But there's nothing wrong with humor, and there's nothing wrong with sobbing and tears. Well, that's what the king does, only because he's a man, and because he is a king, doesn't want people to see him. So he turns his head to the wall, and he weeps. Those tears were a measure of his sincerity. And he gets a second message from the prophet. Isaiah says this time, God says, I have heard thy prayer, and I've seen thy tears, and I will add 15 years to thy life. And he was worried about the Assyrians because they had surrounded the city. And I will deliver Jerusalem from your enemies. He was not cut short. And I was thinking, I didn't know Jerry really all that well. You greet him sometimes when he's here up from Florida and after Mass. And we had two or three summer evening dinners on a Saturday night that I quite enjoyed. But that's all that I know about him, really. But I think this was his blessing. Precisely this. He was not cut short. Whether in life, concerning his marriage, or his family, or his avocation, his work, or the time of his retirement, nor in his faith was he cut short. He didn't have to, and he wouldn't compromise. He had the Catholic faith going all the way back, nor in his death. His was the grace, I am sure, of a good death. He had time. This is part of God's plan. He had time to get used to the idea, and maybe finally, towards the end, to long for the release of it, and time to set his house in order, as the prophet told the king. He had time to pray and received all of the sacraments. He had received his last rites, the extreme unction and the blessing, but even the prayers for the dying, and very rare are those today, who will have a priest who will come back and say those long prayers, prayers not cut short, of course, for the dying. And at the end, Father said, he couldn't speak, but he knew, if you can follow the eyes, he knew that Jerry knew what was going on and that he was praying in his heart. His father prayed with his lips. And then he had his funeral. He's having his funeral in the Old Faith this morning in the traditional Latin Mass, which he loved, unchanged. Everything said or sung as in centuries and centuries past, and so very beautifully. You know, that's a tribute to our young people who are here in the choir, and people rearrange their schedule because he's part of our family, and we're burying him today, and everything must be done correctly. That's our way. There's nothing abbreviated. There are no shortcuts. Sarah says, because there's nothing short about him, but his life, or his faith, or his manner. I will remember him as a gentle soul. I think in your marriage, that was his job. And he was quiet, and he was genial, and he was easygoing. And probably he was not one, I'm guessing, to cut people short either. On the road or in a conversation. Rarest of blessings today when all is fast and quick, not to be cut short in life or in death. Everything today is so, we're all so busy, and everything is peremptory and hurry up. And what's taking you so long? We don't take our time with family, or with Almighty God, or with our friends, because we're all people on a mission. We've got to get to that next destination, except hardly anybody worries about eternity and the home that beckons. Well, don't cut Jerry short, will you? Keep him in your prayers. Take time now, while there is time, to do things right. And if you do things right for others, as many of you will, because you are good-hearted folk, then surely you will look to your own soul and do things right for yourself. For your soul will never die. And that's the one thing that matters. As we sing so often in the Mass, in the Latin, per omnia saecula saeculorum. For all ages of ages, it means literally. And when the ages of ages are done, eternity will only have begun. I don't know, none of us do, Jerry's eternal fate. But I do know this, as a man lives, so shall he die. And this was his blessing, that he was not cut short. Today, you have time to claim your blessing. Don't cut yourself short. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.